script reading this morning will be taken from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I'll be reading verses 17, 18, and 19. I'll be reading from the New King Standard, New King James Standard. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. King James uses the word high-minded. New American Standard uses the word conceited. We get the idea, I believe. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you, certainly with the turning into a new year, the first Lord's Day of this year. And we're thankful and blessed with every day that God has granted us, and certainly we're blessed with another day today. I certainly hope that you've made some spiritual goals. Many people make physical goals. I hope you've made some spiritual goals. And I certainly pray for those as I pray for myself, the congregation, each and every one of us as we try to be better as we follow the example of Jesus. This morning, I think we're actually going to discuss a very hard topic, a very relevant topic, I believe, to the United States and all congregations within. I think it's actually a relevant lesson to myself. And it's actually hard to prepare, hard to consider, because I think that really, if we can admit some things to ourselves, perhaps we certainly have some work to do in our Christian lives. You know, I think there are many plagues that have swept our country, and one that you might think is a great blessing, I think perhaps could have been one of our greatest curses in many ways. And I think it's been a curse throughout history. It's the plague of prosperity. Well, what do you mean by that? Prosperity is a blessing. Well, yes, it is a blessing in many ways in terms of physical, but many times the consequences of prosperity actually lead people away from God. And I think we see it throughout time. We can go back in the Old Testament and you can see God's people, how when were they most away from God? When did they turn away from God the most? And many times it was when they were in periods of prosperity. I believe we can be faithful and be prosperous in a physical way, but there are many challenges that come along with that. This is a difficult lesson because I've come to the conclusion that I'm rich. Yes, rich spiritually. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. I'm richly and bountifully blessed in that way, but I have come to the conclusion that I am rich. Would you come to the same conclusion? I'm going to try to convince you in the next few minutes that you are rich. You say, well, with inflation and all these things going around, certainly, Powell, you wouldn't say that I am physically rich. I think I'm physically rich. I think that maybe you should come to the same conclusion. I think we have trouble saying that. I am rich, physically. You know why I think we struggle with that so many times? Because so many times we look up and we don't look down. We'll look at everyone that is ahead who has more than us, but we'll never look down and say, well, who has less than me? Well, here's some things to consider, some statistics that I looked up. You know that 50% of the world lives off of $5 a day. That would be $150 for the month. That would be $1,825 for the year. $5 a day, 50% of the world. 80% of the world live off $10 a day, which would be $300 for the month, which would be $3,650 for the year. Maybe you cannot say you're rich because you're too busy looking up and not looking down. 80%, $10 a day. You know, there's a calculator online. It's called How Rich Are You Calculator, and you can type in how much you make a year, and it will tell you what percentage you fall in respect to the rest of the world. And there are many numbers that you could type in there, but I've typed in 18,000. I typed in 18,000. If you made 18,000 a year, what would that be and it put you in the world stage, and I believe it put you in over the top 88%, if you make $18,000. Why did I pick $18,000? Because the average Social Security check is $1,500 a month, which would put you at about $18,000 a year, which would put you in the top 88% if you're just on Social Security. You say, Kyle, I don't feel rich. Well, perhaps it's because you're looking up and you're not looking down. I think anyone that was in any other country, if they would look at me, they would say, Kyle, you're rich. I have no doubt in my mind. In fact, when I start to look at that number, someone that makes $18,000 a year would put me up in the top 88%. That means that if I started walking around the world, that more people would say that I'm rich than not. Can you say that about yourself this morning? Can you say that I am rich physically? And if you can come to the same conclusion that I have, what I really want to do is look at the spiritual implications. Because somehow, I believe anyone in the world would probably look at us and say that we're rich. But the question is can we say that about ourselves? And as we start to reflect on that, we think on that as how prosperous our nation is in many ways. I know we have many problems. How prosperous I might be in a physical sense is how does Satan continue to get us to run after the world and not spiritual things? If everybody looks at us and say, well, you know what, Kyle, you're rich. I don't know why you keep running after this stuff so much, because in my eyes, you're rich. Why can't you drop some of those physical things and pursue spiritual things the way that you should? You know, I think prosperity is a plague in many respects. I think it is a plague that wars against our soul. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it gives us that kind of idea. It says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. We are in a war against physical things and making sure that those physical things don't take over our spiritual lives. It is hard to be rich and be a follower of Christ because the world gets its hands on you and turns your head and turns your mind away from God so many times. I think we have a prosperity problem in our country. You say, well, what about poverty? You know what? In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9, the individual there says, Give me neither poverty nor riches. I understand that there are problems and trials with being poor. But what we need to understand is there are trials and challenges spiritually for us if we are rich. And if you can say that you're rich here today, you need to be very mindful of the spiritual traps for those that are rich. Well, what are the spiritual traps for those that are rich, Kyle? Become prideful. Brother Mickey just read it for us, a warning to those that were rich. The temptation and the trial is when we're very prosperous, we become very prideful. You know what God wants you to be? He wants you to be humble. You know what happens many times when we get rich? We get disengaged from spiritual things when God wants us engaged with spiritual things. Many times when we're prosperous, we become lazy. Physically, but also many times we become lazy spiritually. The question is, if I am in fact rich, am I watching out that I don't become too prideful? Am I watching out that I am not becoming disengaged from spiritual things? Am I watching out that I am not becoming lazy in the work of the Lord? If someone looked at you from outside the USA, I'm convinced they would say that you're rich. And perhaps you don't want to see it. But I've come to the conclusion that I am physically rich. And if I'm physically rich, I need to be watching out for the pitfalls that plague rich individuals. Pride, disengagement, laziness in relation to spiritual things. Those are traps for those that are rich. You know, many times we pity the poor, and the poor definitely have their challenges. You see that in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. The poor have their challenges. But you know what? The rich have their challenges too. The rich have their challenges that they must overcome if they are to become followers of Christ and to live the life which He wants to live. Many times we talk about people that are rich. You know what? Many times rich people are very prideful. You know what? Rich people, maybe we would even say they're spoiled. They become disengaged. They become lazy. And you know what? This can happen to us spiritually if we are not mindful and aware that the plague of prosperity has swept our land. And it has swept our land to the point that people have become prideful, they have become disengaged, and they have become lazy when it comes to spiritual things. And I think it can be tied back to prosperity. You know, many times we pity the poor. I wonder if sometimes the poor look at us and just say, look at all the challenges those rich individuals have to face. They have to fight to not be spoiled. They have to fight to challenge their comfort zone. They have to fight to not be disengaged. They have to fight not to be lazy. They have to fight to not become prideful. You know, we pity the poor. Maybe the poor should be pitying us. I think sometimes they do, the ones that are spiritually minded, because they know that many of these physical things are traps that lead people away from God. If you can say you're rich, there's some things you have to overcome. There's some things that I have to overcome. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says this. It says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. I think you could probably put rich in that category as well. If there are many categories of people that there are not going to be very many Christians of, and I would believe that the rich are one of those. Not very many rich people are going to be Christians. And if we look around the room and you can come to the conclusion that I am rich, you need to be very mindful of the traps of being rich and prosperous. We need to be mindful that we're not becoming prideful. We need to be mindful that we're not becoming disengaged from the work of the church. That we don't become lazy. And you know what? We see examples of this throughout the Bible. Jesus, I think, tries to send a message that you can follow Jesus and be rich and prosperous. You need to understand that there are some challenges of being rich and following the Lord. And I want to look at three situations this morning. Number one, if you turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 18, let's look at a rich man. Let's look at his conversation with the Lord. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. Says, now a certain rich ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, I'm in chapter 18, verse 18, says, now a certain rich ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And those who heard that said, who then can be saved? But he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You know, I think Jesus is actually having a conversation with the average citizen in the USA. A rich person, one of us, maybe you don't want to put yourself in a category, but I'll put myself in that category. I go talk to Jesus, a rich young man. I say, Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, you need to keep the commandments. Well, I've done that, God. Well, God saw something in that rich young man that he was still tied to the world. So he just challenges him with one question. He just basically says, give up the world and the worldly things. And you know what? That man immediately became sorrowful because he was very rich. You understand, I think Jesus is trying to send a powerful message here. It is a challenge for those that are rich to drop their things. You say, well, Kyle, do I have to sell everything that I have? I really think it's a mindset, because we see another rich man in chapter 19 in Luke, and we see his mindset. I think it's a mindset. I think it's a mindset that I don't need all this stuff in the world. As long as I have Jesus, I'm good. You know, I think it's the same mindset Job had. You can take my health. You can take my wealth. You can take my family. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. That's the right mindset. But see, this young man, he did not have the right mindset. He says, I want to keep all this stuff, and if that means not having God in my life, I'm okay with that. See, we run into Zacchaeus in chapter 19, just a chapter later. Jesus going through town, I would say that Zacchaeus is a rich individual. He's a rich individual, and Jesus sees him, he talks to him, and you know what? Zacchaeus, he jumps out of that tree, and he says, God, I want to make everything right. I will make everything right with these individuals that I have wronged. He has the right mindset. He says, if I have Jesus, I don't care as much about this physical stuff. See, when we get so connected to our physical things that we can't let them go for the cause of Christ, it gets in the way. We've got to let some of those physical things go. This rich young man would not let the things of the world go. Do you know that there's perhaps some things of this world you need to let go? Jesus knew what this man's problem was. If the world is keeping you away from God, sell all your stuff. If the world's keeping you away from God, if your job's keeping you away from God, then perhaps you need to make some decisions about that, about your job. If some of these things in our life are taking us away from God, if sports is taking us away from God, maybe there's some things in this world we need to drop, we need to walk away from, because they are taking us away from God. God says, drop your stuff and follow me. He says, I don't want to drop my stuff. Zacchaeus, in chapter 19, Zacchaeus says, I'm willing to make it right with you, God. I'll drop everything and follow you if that's what's needed. He had the right mindset. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? It's a mindset issue. And here's a good test. It's really, I'd say this rich young man was addicted to the things of the world. And you know the best way to detect if you're addicted? Just give it up. Just give it up. Are you addicted to coffee? Just give it up. Oh, I hit a hard one then, but you know. But if you're addicted to, am I addicted to coffee? Well, can you give it up for a couple days? If you can't give it up for a couple days, you might be addicted. Can you give up your phone for a couple days? Oh, now I'm really hitting home. Can you give up your phone for a couple days? You know, you can let your spouse say, hey, I'm going offline, you know, just route everything through my spouse. Can you give up your phone for 2 days? You want to know whether you're addicted to something? Can you give it up? Can you give it up? See, I think that's what God is really trying to get across to the rich young man, is could you give it up? Could you give it up? Can you give up the world? Can you let go of some of those things? That's a test I think about when I cross over to the new year. I think, do I have any addictions that I picked up this year? And you know what? The best way to test if you have an addiction is, can you give it up? Can you give it up? See, this rich young man could not give it up. Some of us are addicted to the world, and many times we cannot see it. And it's a sad picture. And really, Jesus is putting it up in front. Are you addicted to the world so much that you don't come to services? Are you addicted to the world so much that you don't come to Wednesday Bible study? Well, here's a good test. Here's a good test. I'm not addicted to the world, Kyle. I can give it up. I'll see you Wednesday. It is hard for those that are rich. It is hard for those that have temptations all around them. It's hard for those people that have the lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. All these things that are so easily accessible to us, it's easy for us to pursue the world and say, God, you just take the back burner. It's okay. It's the plague of prosperity. It blinds us to the things that really matter. Just give it up if you're not addicted. That's a test. Kyle, I'm not addicted to the world. Then give it up. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Peter, you're cheating on the Lord. It's sad when we put so much in the riches and the physical things of this world, because in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, it tells us they're passing away. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, you've carried nothing into this world, and it's certain that you're going to carry nothing out. But somehow, we get obsessed with these worldly things, we carry them, we can't let them go. Many of us are perhaps not so different from this rich young man. It's hard to be rich and follow the Lord. It's hard to be rich and follow the Lord. Not impossible, but very hard. You know, people have tried to break this down 100 different ways. Because the rich man walks away, and then these people say, they start having a conversation with Jesus, and you look at verse 24, it says, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now, some people have tried to analyze that to death. Maybe God is just saying what he means to say, that it's hard for people that are rich to be Christians. Oh, no, I want to break it down this way. Maybe God just means what he says. It is hard to be a Christian and to have all this wealth and all these temptations that pull us away from God, that make us prideful, that make us disengaged, that make us lazy in the work of the church. Perhaps we would even say lukewarm. It's hard for people to follow Jesus the way they should when they're rich. Jesus is saying it's hard to be rich. And if you wrestle with that question and you end up coming to the conclusion that you're rich physically, you need to be very aware. Am I becoming too prideful? Am I becoming disengaged from the church? Am I becoming lazy in the spiritual work of the Lord? Don't let the world, wealth, prosperity get between you and God. Don't let those things get between you and God. Don't let those things get between you and the assembly of the saints. Don't let those things get between you and serving the Lord and pursuing your potential spiritually. Because those are the things that really matter. See, Zacchaeus in chapter 19, verses 5 through 9, you could almost see two opposite responses. I say you got the rich young man, he's rich, he's sorrowful, he can't give up the world. We have Zacchaeus in chapter 19, verses 5 through 9, when he knows he's got Jesus, he says, I want to make everything right. I don't have to have this stuff. If I need to shift it over here, if I need to make things right, I'll do it. Whatever I need to do, I'll do. The rich young man was not willing to say that. Are we willing to say, God, take whatever you need to take, I just want to serve you? See, when you found the kingdom, when you found the pearl of great price, when you have found the treasure in the field, you should be willing to give up everything to pursue that treasure. And many of us forget about the value of the church, the value of the kingdom. The mindset of, I don't care about my stuff. I will not let my stuff get in the way of remembering the Lord. I will not let my stuff get in the way of Bible study. I will not let my stuff get in the way of my service to the Lord. Oh man, do I have to? That was the mindset of the rich young ruler. The mindset of Zacchaeus that says, I'll give up whatever needs to be given up, as long as I can have the appropriate relationship with the Lord. Money does weird things to people. It makes them prideful many times. It makes them disengaged from spiritual things. It makes them lazy many times. And it makes many individuals walk away. We look just shortly at this rich young ruler. Let's look really quickly at a rich congregation. If we had a rich nation, then I think that we don't have to go too far till we might conclude we have rich congregations here in the United States. And if we have rich congregations in the United States, what might we be susceptible to? We might be susceptible to pride, disengagement, and laziness. And you know what? You find just that congregation in Revelation. In Revelation, we find a rich congregation, and we see how they're handling their Christianity. We see how they're handling their walk with God. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 and following. It says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness and beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I will counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. In Revelation, we've got letters to the churches of Asia, and one in particular we find is rich. And we see what their richness has led to. We see a congregation that is lukewarm. They're not interested in the work of the church. They are lazy. They have become disengaged from spiritual things. And I think that perhaps they have even become prideful. We even see the statement that is quoted there. So we see a rich fool and how that makes it very hard. But we also see a rich congregation. A congregation that I think had an issue of being prideful. A congregation that had an issue of being disengaged from spiritual things. A congregation that was lazy. Why? Because they were rich. it's hard to be rich and serve the Lord the way that we should. You know, this is not a good place to be. What did God say about these Christians that were lukewarm? It said that He would spit them or vomit them out of His mouth. I don't know how you can spin that. That is not a good picture. And you know what? You know, sometimes we spit or we vomit really out of disgust. Why would God be disgusted with these Christians? I think God is disgusted with these Christians because these Christians say, I like myself more than I like you. I like myself more than I like you, God. I will let the stuff consume my life, and I will not focus on you. You know, there's an interesting choice that so many people make in this country, and some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, unfortunately, is many individuals look at God, and they say, I have enough God in my life, but I don't have enough stuff. Oh, a lot of people say that to God. God, I've got enough of you, you know, all of them once. You know, and I'm not going to be involved in Bible study. I'm not going to be involved in trying to build myself spiritually. You know, many people say that to God. Now, they don't think they're saying it to God, but really they are through their actions. If you think about it and you consider it, as many people are saying to God, God, I've got enough of you, but I don't have enough stuff. The question is when we get to the point in our lives and say, you know what, I have enough stuff, but I don't have enough God. I wouldn't lie. That question has come up many times in my life. When can I say, God, I have enough stuff, but I don't have enough of you? God, I have enough stuff, but I don't have enough of you. Much of our world says, you know, I need more stuff, and I've got enough of God. I don't need any more God. I don't need any more God. And you know what? When we're rich and prosperous, so many times we become lukewarm, just as we see with this congregation, lukewarm. I look around our country, I see the plague of prosperity. It is living, it is active, it is choking individuals. And actually, that is the picture we see in the parable of the sower. The sower goes out and sows, and there's some of the seeds that hit the ground and they start to grow. These Christians are growing, and then something happens to their growth. We have this plant that's growing, it's growing. What happens to it? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And it says, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There's this picture of individual that comes contact with God's word. They become a Christian, I believe, and they start to grow. And then what happens? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, one and other things, these things come up as briars, and they choke the growth. It's hard to be rich and serve the Lord. I think it's hard for a congregation that is rich to serve the Lord. I think we see it in the Scripture. Kyle, you're being awful hard this morning. If I'm being hard on you, I'm being hard on myself. I already told you, I've come to the conclusion that I'm physically rich. And if I'm physically rich, I need to think about and consider, what are the dangers of being rich and serving the Lord? Becoming prideful, becoming disengaged from the work of the church, becoming lazy. A preacher, yes. I'm human just like each and every one. We looked at a rich young man who couldn't let the world go. We looked at a congregation that they are stifled because of worldly things, because of prosperity. I'd like to look at another example in Scripture. I think God's trying to get it across to us. It is hard to serve the Lord and be rich. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. The parable of the rich fool. It says, then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you. And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, You have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Wait, that seems to be a pattern here. When we're rich, it leads to laziness. When we're rich, it leads to laziness. It says, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So it was, so is he who lays up treasures for himself and not towards God. You know, we have a rich individual here that we can think about and discuss certainly for a long time. But one thing I noticed about this rich man, he is so blessed that he needs some additional barns to put his stuff in. Now, I don't know about you, but this one kind of hit me pretty hard because I definitely got some stuff laying around. How many storage buildings are in the United States? How many of those storage units that you can rent? I mean, they're just all over the place. You know, you look at this, you know, I think in America, we do not have an issue with poverty. We have a problem with prosperity. And if we know that we're prosperous, we need to be careful because we can fall into these traps. This man says, you know what? I've got all this stuff. You know what? I need more space for my stuff. And he goes down that road. He's like, oh, I need more space for my stuff. I'm just going to keep getting more and more space for my stuff. You know, and look at his mindset and his attitude. Well, you know what? I'm set. I'm set for life. And you know what happens? He gets lazy. It says he's at ease. Christians in the United States, we've got a challenge on our hands. Perhaps you might even say it's a disadvantage. We are rich and we are prosperous, and with that comes many temptations that we must overcome. We must overcome the temptation of pride. We must overcome the temptation of being disengaged from the church. We must overcome the temptation of being lazy in the work of the Lord. Because that is the pattern of those who are rich. The rich young man, he walked away. Many individuals do that. There's the congregation that we look at. These individuals are not doing the work of the Lord. They have been stifled by their prosperity and their riches. And we look at this individual. This individual becomes lazy, prideful, disengaged, lazy. Those are the traits of people living in prosperity. The question is, are they the traits of us? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the way, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Dare I say it? Few wealthy are called. Few noble are called. Few wise are called. Few mighty are called. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. I want to be among the few. And if I'm going to be among the few, and I admit that I'm rich, I need to be incredibly self-aware of myself. Am I prideful? Am I disengaged? Am I lazy in the work of the church? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I need your help. I need your help because I'm human like any other. I need you to constantly direct me towards spiritual things, and I am going to do my best to direct you towards spiritual things. I think that's what Paul tries to get across to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Brother Mickey read a section for us, but really, you could read all of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it would basically be preaching exactly what I've went over this morning. But Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he talks to people who are rich. He says, command those who are rich among you not to be haughty, but to trust in the living God. As you read down through there, there are so many things that you can pick up. There's so many things that we can take away. There's so many things to consider. But let me read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about the idea of being more godly, being more righteous, having more faith, having more love, having more patience, having more meekness. I think in America, we kind of have a major handicap. We have a disadvantage. It's the plague of prosperity. It is all around us. doesn't mean that we cannot be faithful to the Lord, but we need to understand the challenges that are around us. If you had Christ, could you be content? Job was. And I think that's what we have to learn. It's not that we don't work jobs, we need to provide for our family. But I think there is a time in our lives where we have to say no to the stuff and say yes to God. We have to say no to the world and say yes to God. And I think probably one of the bravest prayers you can pray is, God, help me not to be lukewarm. God, help me not to be lukewarm in a sea of prosperity where I know I have a danger of becoming prideful, disengaged, and lazy in the work of the church. Can you pray as Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but your will be done? See, that's a scary prayer. Be careful what you ask for. Because if you pray that, perhaps God will take away some of your wealth. Because you need some of that wealth taken away in order for you to focus the way you should on the Lord. Perhaps God will take away your health because you need your health taken away so you would focus on the Lord the way that you should. Would you pray as Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done? You know, when Jesus prayed that prayer, he cried. We read that in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Not my will, but yours be done. Can you pray that in the land of prosperity? Can you stay grounded and avoid the trap of prosperity? Pride, disengagement, and laziness. Will you help me? I'll try to help you. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can this morning to become as we stand as we sing.